For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, December the 27th, 1989. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the evening. Well, we can't pray sitting down. At least, we're not going to. Praise you, Jesus. Father, it's a privilege we have together to pray, together this evening to praise the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. I count it a privilege and a pleasure that I can lift my voice unto Jesus and say, I love thee, I praise thee, I worship thee. Holy, holy is the Lord. Father, I count it a privilege to take this offering that's been received this evening and to bring it as a sweet savor unto Jesus, our high priest, for him to present upon the altar before the throne as a sweet savor unto thee. Father, I thank you for receiving it from these thy people who have given for the furtherance of the cause here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and those who come here to minister. Thank you, Father, for giving me wisdom and discernment with it as now as I take authority and dominion over it, and I'm responsible for it. Father, I thank you for wisdom. And I thank you, Lord, for discernment and for help, Lord, with the financial burden of this place. And Father, I thank you as I take this finances, I bind them to the kingdom of the living God, that it shall be used for nothing but the necessities of life and then the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, as long as this type of finances is used. I bind it to the kingdom, that it shall multiply again and again and again and again for the kingdom's sake, that it shall not be wasted, but it shall be used for thy glory. Father, I thank you for that privilege. And Father, I pray your blessings upon these thy people, and that Abraham's blessing shall be their blessing. Father, as they praise and worship and glorify thee and walk before thee in holiness and righteousness and hide their word in your heart that they sin not against thee. And I appreciate, Father, that the finances that they've given and their presence that they present here and their worship unto thee. And I thank you, Lord, for receiving our worship and our praise. For we present it unto Jesus, our Redeemer and your Son and our soon coming King. With joy and gladness we do it. Amen and amen. Praise you, Jesus. You may be seated. All but Brother McCullough. We're going to try and break him in a little bit to see how his voice is doing here for a few minutes. See if he's going to be ready for one time before he goes. And so he'll at least be ready when he goes back home for Sunday morning. So come up here and we'll give you 10 minutes of Chuck's time at least. That is, if your voice is that good.
Well, it's better than it's been, but I don't want to take Brother Chuck's time, I can tell you that. Well, praise God. You really know how to surprise a guy.
Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this gathering tonight. Thank you for this campground. Thank you for Glenn and Irma. Thank you for their dedication and their obedience to you. I thank you, Lord, for the speakers that are here. Thank you, Lord, because you are moving in a mighty way in the earth. And, Lord, we've come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. So, Lord, we just open our hearts. We open our eyes to see what you're saying and hear what you're saying, so that we can do what you're saying. So, Lord, help us to hear what you're saying. Hear it with discernment. And then do what you say, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I came with Brother David, I was just about as sick as I've been in a long time. I actually was just thinking the other day, you know, how long it had been since I really had missed a service or been sick. And I guess that was the Lord trying to warn me to get to praying, because we had about 15 degrees below zero in Nashville. And, man, I mean,
Suddenly, I was just unable to talk and almost unable to breathe. I was in actual pain last night when Brother Jack was ministering. But I told the Lord last night, and the devil told me about 3 o'clock in the morning, he said, I'm going to kill you. He said, you've got pneumonia. He said, you're going to die. And I just told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, if you'll keep me alive, I'll preach whatever you tell me to preach tomorrow or whenever. And I think the Lord said, okay. And I've been getting better ever since. I'm getting stronger and stronger. So I can hardly wait to hear what I've got to say. I feel that I am on a divine appointment this week. I praise God that David and I received an invitation to come. And I know that I am married to the local church. Pastors are married to the church. Local church is on my heart. The church of the living God is on my heart. I know it's on all of your hearts, but it's on my heart in a special way. And I'm a part of a new breed that's in the earth. Brother Cain has said that God promised him, promised his mother. So most of you know of Paul Cain. Said that he would, he was healed of so many diseases. Actually, he wasn't even supposed to be born. And his mother had to be healed of some diseases before he could even be born. God promised that he would see a new breed on the earth. His mother would live to see a new breed on the earth. I believe she's 102 or 4, something like that. There is a new breed in the earth. And we're coming from all over the world. And we are believing that God is going to have a prophetic church, not a pathetic church. And God is showing some things to his people. And I'm a part of what he's doing. I'm so humbled to be a part of what he's doing. Because I thought I was going to Nashville, Tennessee to be in the advertising business. But God had other plans. And I am not a prophet. But I know I am prophetic. Because God has been taking me and showing me things. Prophets just see things. Or prophetic people just see things. And I'm seeing things about the local church. What I see thrills me and it frightens me and it challenges me. And I know I am hearing from God. Never felt like I've been more in the will of God than I am right now. And my beloved, I'm telling you, the church is on the move. Things that are happening in Europe, things that are happening in these countries are prophetic. They're just signs of what is happening in the spirit. The strongholds are coming down. God's people are going to experience a tremendous harvest and a tremendous wave of revival and restoration. And we're going to be a part of it. And I'm telling you now, this is the hour to hear from God individually, to find your place and get in it. Amen. Find the spot. There's a little toy game someone gave me. David with the... it's one of those little games that has the little steel balls that roll around and go into the little child's puzzle game. What's it called? I don't know, but it's trouble to try to get all those little things in the right spot. And this one had David and the giant, and there were 5 of them in there, and someone just gave it to me. Some little kid gave it to me and said, Pastor, I want you to have this. And the Lord said, I want you to play with that. So I spent the next few days just playing with it, trying to roll those little steel balls around. And God said, that's what I'm doing in my church. And I'm rolling things around. I'm going to put my people in their place. Charismatic movement has been a lot of steel balls rolling around. But God is moving now in his mighty hand, and he's causing those to find their place. And when you find your place, this is Irma and Glenn's place, this campground's their place. They know they're in the middle of the will of God. There's no feeling like that. And years ago, 25 years ago or whatever, but even 15 years ago when they started the campground, there were not a lot of local churches that were open to the prophetic. They were, most of them were just stuck on whatever the main line was on the card. But that's changing. There are local churches being raised up. And I'm going to share some things with you in my time, but I want to just pray with you while I'm here that you'll find your place. Find your spot. This is the hour to hear from God. Become accountable. Get in a place. Find your post. And don't leave your post. Get in your post. Man your post. Be faithful in your post. and watch God do great things. And he's going to do it. Amen? Father, I pray we find our spot in the body. I pray for every family here, every man and every woman, every person that's represented here, that each person will find their spot. Lord, you said you'll set in the body every member as pleases you. Not as pleases us, but as pleases you. You've got a spot for every person, and a person for every spot. So put us in it, Lord, so that when your great end time move happens, we'll be at our post, doing what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. And I'm glad to be here representing the pastors. Because I think I'm the only guy pastoring right now in all this week. You're pastoring too, Brother Jack. You travel so much, you don't count. That doesn't count. That's what he said. No, but seriously, thank God. Glad I'm here. Thank you for inviting
me. Well, I think we'll give Brother McCollum till tomorrow night to get his throat in good shape. And Brother Boland has already got his in good shape, so we'll let him try it out some more in the morning. Amen. Chuck Flynn is the first camp meeting speaker that we ever had here at the campground. And he's been a camp meeting speaker for us at California and Full Gospel Businessmen and everywhere for many, many years before we even ever came here. So he's just part of our family as far as that goes, he and Mary Ann. But it's a privilege to have him to come and be with us these days, and for David and Brother McCullough to come over and be with us, and Brother Boland and Brother Pittman should be in here sometime tonight. His big rig will come rolling in, and we'll have the pleasure of having him here with us too. Amen. Chuck, the blessings of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's a wonderful thing to see God's glory and the Lord desiring peace among humanity. Patriotism is just what I call sort of a little bit under the spiritual blessings and victories. Patriotism and spirituality seem to flow together. It gives you a great peace. When I studied into the ancient history, on the one side you have the authority and the faith of Abraham and the great concepts of the Ten Commandments given to Moses. But on the other hand, you have the code of Hammurabi. Now, this is the very origin of all legal system. And so the code of Hammurabi, four of those main principles coincide and parallel explicitly with four of the Ten Commandments. And so all of our judicial system stems from the code of Hammurabi. And we know that the same person who gave the Ten Commandments, or the same deity, is the Ancient of Days that gave the Ten Commandments to Moses and gave the code to Hammurabi. So Satan has tried to dilute the power of our judicial system ever since. And so that is his great desire, which has crescendoed into being very effective in our generation. Even the Apostle Paul, in his early days of pre-conversion, Saul of Tarsus, he had to go to get legal papers before he could go to Damascus. Remember reading that? It is the put down, the warping, the imitation of the legal system Satan has tried to use. Therefore, in our day, praise God, we pray for those in positions in our legal system, judges, lawyers. And so Satan has tried to rule that area and take over the lawyer system. You cannot go to the FCC without going through a particular nationality lawyer. You ask Paul Crouch or anybody else, CBN and all of them, there has to be, there is no other FCC that controls the system of communicating and media besides a Jewish lawyer. That's interesting. I think it's time when we prayed for our president and for our leaders that we pray that there's a release in our judicial system to have Holy Ghost filled people to be federal judges.
Yes.
And so that authority and that anointing, hallelujah, let's be impressed. That I have seen that, and I counsel with students and those that feel like they want to do something for the Lord, and they feel the highest crescendo of pleasing God is a church pulpit. And I'm sorry, but that is not the highest crescendo of pleasing God, maybe for your life. You do what God has called you to do. You can be in any profession and yet have a pulpit there for your constituency. Too long have we geared our young people to thinking that possibly this is the highest call, and this is one of the calls, and it is a glorious call, but it can fit in your life. And anything you put your hand to do, you'll prosper in it.
Amen.
We need media. We need politicians. We need lawyers. We need the anointing of God. And we need to turn our universities around. In Psalm 69, it says that the zeal of the house of the Lord has eaten him up in verse 9. But verse 11 will just shock you, as it did me, that he and his messiahship will be the sing song of the drunkards. In other words, Jesus was the song of the drunkards. The modern day comedians have had their day. The mighty 90s, I rebuke. And no more shall we see comedians get their strength and their success from ridiculing the Holy Ghost people.
Amen.
That's got to stop.
Amen.
And they have opened doors now into all of our universities for these modern day comedians, and no other couple has come under the scrutiny and the degradation and the humiliation and was a companion to Psalm 69 and verse 11, as Jesus the Messiah was the song of the drunkards, as Jim and Tammy Baker. And for that reason, God's going to turn it around for that couple. And I don't care what you think. The only other person that even was close to it was Amy McPherson. Where the world ridiculed and jokes and all types of criticism. And I am not ignorant, and you're not ignorant to know that that's only the beginning of what they'd like to do. We're going to stop it now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless God. The anointing of the Lord. The great spearhead and the great is Robin Williams, who got his popularity from acting like and giving forth his nightclub presentation of Holy Ghost evangelists. You think, well, it's not important. Yes, it is. We bind the acts of the devil. That's why we're here. That's why we're converted. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem, to destroy the works of the devil. Thank you, Father. So, Father, we rejoice in Thee as we have pledged our allegiance unto the flag and this great musical number, glory, glory unto Thee. Glory, hallelujah. And we thank You, Lord, that this is our finest hour. That this land, hallelujah, and the glory of the earth is given unto the saints of the Lord. And we praise You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank You, Father. I would like to speak on tonight under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God's dealt with me this last few days and what the plans and purposes of the Father. And I thought, well, it should be a new type and purpose for the 90s. But no, the Lord showed me that this is not new. It's just going to crescendo into its great, fathomless glory. And so I'm speaking on tonight the strategy of God. Take notes. The strategy of God. If you want a subtitle, what I will deal with, you can't deal with everything, of course, but in our finite minds, we can look at it in a great and glorious beginning. Let's say the origin of God's tremendous strategy. First of all, we want to go to Revelation chapter 13. This is one of those fathomless, glorious themes that would take quite a bit to surround it. But let's lay some foundation work tonight. Hallelujah. I sense the prophetic anointing. For you will walk, my child, in the authority of the zeal of the house of the Lord. And I will cover thee, and though that which would have tried to weaken, and that which would have tried to go before you, yea, in a confusion, my peace shall give you direction. You will see that the authority of the gifts shall be stirred up within you. You will move in my power, and the glory of the Lord will open this door. I'll also, yea, bring the financial authority to bring it to pass. Do not fear what you've labored for. The son of the stranger will not take it from you. My peace is upon thee. Thy ministry shall be enlarged. For it's time now to strengthen and lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. And let the habitation of our God fill the earth. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Let us go into Mount Zion. For there the key of David is given unto thee. And the door shall be open. And you'll see the anointing upon you and your family. For the peace of the Lord is with you. Now think largely, believe largely, for yea, you'll enter into the revelation of that which I have exposed in my word. Walk in it. This is your finest hour. Amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Do it, Jesus. Revelation chapter 13. In verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so we have this great beast that it is named that has come. And it describes this beast. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. This is a portion of, and the dragon, this is a system, of course, Lucifer or Satan, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. For he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here's the patience and the faith of the saints. I want to pick out this tremendous verse and the lamb that was slain, and then this phrase, the strategy of God from the foundation of the world. There is a book of life. Thank God your names are written in the book of life. When you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and know that the authority of the Lord in all of His glory, we have this tremendous privilege of what we call eternal salvation. But let's look at this term, foundation of the world. The term itself is interesting. It is called the Katabole, K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E, the original Greek language, that the Holy Ghost wanted to get across to us, the definition of what he's trying to say here. The Katabole, and with that, the word cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, from the foundation of the world. And it means katabole. Kata is in the Greek term that which is put down, that which is thrown down or overthrown. Bole is the society, a system of habitants. So the putting down, the overthrow of a social system is what the word or the term foundation of the world. Cosmos, the society, that which Jesus was showed by Satan in the temptation of Jesus. If you'll fall down and worship me, you'll rule all of this cosmos of the earth. So in looking at that, I said, well, Lord, and just recently, God, how are you going to bring to pass the mighty 90s? The tremendous strategy of the Father. And so let's go to other portions of Scripture to see what God has prepared for us. Let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter. The book of Ephesians. We have in this tremendous authority of what God has given, the Ephesians, the third chapter, whereof, in verse 7, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. It's already been dealt with efficiently today by Brother David. Get that tape this morning of David Alsobrook. I'm known as a teacher of teachers, and I really highly prize that message this morning. I'm going to use it. This term minister is a gracious term and was used as in leadership, diakonos, a deacon, a servant, under the direct orders of the great master. There's another word that Jesus liked to use. The Holy Ghost used it. I'm going to make you a minister. In Acts 26 and verse 16 to 19, when Jesus called Saul of Tarsus, and he says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, but I have revealed myself unto thee. For this purpose I have come to you. See, in the Old Testament, the word feast means to appear before the Lord. So there are seven feasts throughout the year. I asked the Father, I said, Lord, how does those seven feasts relate to the body of Christ? He said, every one of them is a spiritual phase in my people. How many have had the feast of Passover? The blood has covered your sin and forgotten, forgiven and forgotten. You've had your Pentecost. The Holy Ghost has filled you. See, the Feast of Pentecost will yet be upon the earth in its great potential and authority. It is the harvest of the earth. That's why the priest on the day of Pentecost would get up with two loaves of bread, about 4 feet long and 1.5 feet wide and 6 inches deep, and he would give the wave offering. And as he waved these two loaves of bread, they would worship. One would be the Gentiles. One loaf would stand for Israel. And the priest would wave the Gentiles and Israel unto the Lord, that through them the glories of the Holy Ghost would rest, and there'll be a great harvest of souls on the earth. It's a beautiful thing that this wave offering, that's why when the Holy Ghost hits you, you know, when we was little, we used to sort of snicker a little bit and say, that's that Pentecostal jerk, you know, when people would go like that. Well, we didn't realize that is the Holy Ghost anointing of the wave offering. And that's why the priest, see, we're kings and priests unto God. And when the anointing, when people are set free, in Whitfield's revival, Dick Mills told us that the ladies would braid their hair in long braids and then put it up on as a bun. And when the Holy Ghost moved, it would shake it loose and their hair would crack like whips. And that meant revival is in the area. That's part of our history. The glory and the authority of our God moving in the power of God. Today we'd have a lot of wigs. Well, anyway, we won't mess with that. It is the glory of anointing that these different feasts, and in Leviticus 23 is the very origin of all of those feasts, and it's not only seven, but there's eight feasts, but we sort of left the eighth one, you know, we just sort of forgot about it. In Israel, they would put three in a cluster of the Feast of Passover, and with the Day of Atonement and the Unleavened Bread Feast, and then we would go into Pentecost stood alone, and then the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Trumpets and the First Fruits would accompany. And these feasts would be three times of the year. And I said, Lord, how does that relate to us? And he, well, how many divisions are in man? And it's spirit, soul, and body. And God says, when you appear before me, your spirit, soul, and body should take on an increase of my glory every year. You shouldn't be at the same place we were last year. See, your spirit takes on the fresh anointings and the release of the gifts of the Holy Ghost every year. And this power and this authority that He has given us, we should release. If you haven't spoken in the heavenly language, you should begin to speak as the Spirit gives you utterance. You should be increased from the day that you accepted the Lord. Go on in. I'm not afraid of that word predestination. We used to sort of hum-haul around. But now I find out that when I looked it up in Ephesians chapter 1, we're predestinated means that once I get a hold of you, certain things will happen to you if you don't listen to anybody else. That's all it means. And so in Ephesians 1, verse 11, it says, now, I have heard the word. I have trusted the word. I have believed the word. And now I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. That's the next thing that happens. You're sealed in your forehead by the Holy Ghost. That's one reason why David put the stone in Goliath's forehead. It had an eternal purpose. It meant that no giant that would come against the human person on the earth of any country, right up to the mark of the beast, we are not to fear any type of giant. Because when you're sealed, see, the devil is not a creator. He can only imitate and warp what God's already done. So he tries to scare people into thinking that there's going to be some kind of a system that will overpower the system of the Father. But you're sealed with the Holy Ghost. You'll always be provided for. We don't have to move next door to Mormons just because they're stocked up. The anointing of the Lord is upon the people. Don't have to have a 38. You got John 3:16. Now, we can say this lightly now, but the day will come when we'll hold on to those. We'll hold on to those promises of God. Psalms 91, nothing, no plague, no unusual attack shall come nigh your dwelling. Amen. So that's the authority He's given us. He sealed us. And then we have the earnest of our inheritance, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know the hope of His calling, and on and on and on and on, until we're the oracle of God, until He inhabits us. That's why they stoned Stephen. His great message was, what house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Where is the place
of my rest. It doesn't happen in salvation. It doesn't happen in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to work to enter in to His rest and Him to enter into you. And that's why all religious people will throw stones to keep that message from penetrating throughout the world. But he that is without sin shall cast the first stone. It was beautiful when Jesus told the lady caught in adultery, "He that is without sin cast the first stone. Woman, where are thy accusers? No man, Lord." What had happened? She called him Lord. Why? Because he gave her something to build her house on now. He gave her himself and his confidence that you're not going to sin anymore. When I speak it, by the words I speak. And he's the only one that was capable to throw stones at her. And he gave her his life. And she could build her house upon the stone that, and that rock is Christ. You see it? Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why he that is without sin can give you the stones to build upon. Glory to God. So now in this book of Ephesians, the tremendous crescendo of life on into the armor of the Lord, and that this is the Alps of the New Testament. This is the mountains of glory that God wants you and I to be enriched upon. See, if you just hear the word, you trust the word, you believe the word, and the number four is be sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. That your forehead be sealed. And when you speak in the Spirit, as God told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 1, when I seal your forehead, no other forehead shall rob you of your ministry. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. That's the authority. We've been sealed in the purposes of the Father. So let's go on into our eyes being enlightened, the hope of His calling, the great authority and the length and depth and breadth and height of His love. And now we come to some of the tremendous insights of the apostolic anointing that God always gives the apostles, the authority and the peace and the glory, the prophetic. See, there's fivefold ministries. Now, we're in sort of a jeopardy because of denominations. Pastors are that which they feel are guardians of their property have been emphasized. I've been on the field too long to note, but the mighty 90s will not be. Everything's had to be filtered through the fivefold ministry. It just comes through a little down to a point. And the pastor is the main line. It's not going to be anymore. The teacher, the evangelist, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet. There's more than five. Of course. There's the menstrual anointing that sets all of them free. Too long have we degraded and humiliated the great call to sing the power down and our song services. There's no system that's set up for people to study and to pray and to come forth. And I was thrilled when Brother Ray McCullough said, we've got to have praise and we've got to have people that are called to the ministry of praise. Elisha saw it. Why don't we? I can't prophesy. That's what he meant. He intimidated it. Or intimated. He was intimidated till he intimated. Get me a minstrel. Somebody that can praise the hand of the Lord down on me. And then he prophesied to the kings. And that's where we are in the body of Christ now. The body's without water. The army cannot function without water. And the water is the word. With a male and female, there's two organs in the human framework, because they're one. Two organs that depend upon water, the womb and the heart. Evangelicals are around the womb. Thank God for the womb. Thank God for the water that preserves in the natural womb and also the spiritual womb, which is Psalms 110 and verse 3, the womb of the morning. I was in my mother's womb. I was naturally born. Didn't have anything to do with that. But when I was born again, I entered back into, or not back, but I entered forward to the womb of the morning.
Yes, amen.
Now I'm in Jesus. The womb of the morning. Psalms 110th chapter, verse 3. Where the youth and the sustaining grace and the authority of God. Many are in the womb of the morning, but they're not connected with the umbilical cord. The only way I could grow in my mother's womb, because the strength came from the umbilical cord into the midsection, which is the belly. And Christians have forgotten that, and they're taught otherwise. And there's no other way you can be connected and be strong in your Christian life without the umbilical cord. And that's why Jesus said, out of your innermost being, not out of your elbow, not out of your head, not out of your knee or seat, but the rivers of living water shall flow out of your innermost being. Now, he couldn't take time to explain to all of us. That's why he said, study to show yourself approved unto me, unto God. But because of the umbilical cord of the Holy Ghost, when you're born again in the womb of the morning, the umbilical cord comes from Revelation 22, verse 1, for out of the throne of God comes the river of life, clear and crystal. And that river, many trees grow thereof in the nations, and the leaves of the trees are the healing of the nations. When you speak in tongues, it brings healing of God's throne to the earth. That's why the devil hates tongues. Because when you speak, that's living water from the throne, filling the earth. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost authority. And the Holy Ghost speaks through me. See, it's the citizen principle. I'm a citizen of heaven. I don't go up to our brother over here from another nation. You know, it just gets me when you speak in your foreign language. I just lose the victory. Go up to a Nigerian. I've been over there 14 times, helping Benson Idahosa and the Strong Works and others. But, it doesn't even enter our mind that they speak of their nationality, of where their origin is, huh?
Yeah.
So why should any person, or even a godly person, challenge anyone that says, I'm a citizen of heaven. I speak in a heavenly language. Hallelujah. That's my citizenship. Don't rob me of my citizenship, and I have a language to accompany it, and you should have had it. I'm not going to let anybody else rob me of the citizenry that the Word of God tells me I can have. You left the pattern. We didn't. May God help the authority of God's people to know that when you're sealed and you're in the womb of the morning, the umbilical cord comes upon you. Hallelujah. And rivers of living water come forth. And those are the leaves of the trees that will be the healing of nations. Now, the first level of languages I speak is basically what we call the devotional tongue. When I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, through the Lord Jesus, He's the baptizer. See, there's three baptisms, the baptism in water in the spiritual realm, baptism in water, redemption, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism in water is another believer that assists you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is Jesus is the baptizer. The baptism into the body, the Holy Ghost is the assistant. Spirit of God comes upon you. The reason why that many are taught to reject the Holy Ghost baptism of Jesus is because the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and leads you and baptizes you into the body. 1 Corinthians
12, verse 13. There's a lot of good saints talking in tongues that don't know where they belong. You're baptized into the body. And frivolous excuses. There's more youth over here, so I had to take the young uns over there. Or I've got to do this, or they take more offerings. And I don't like that, so I'll go over where they take less offerings. That's a bunch of hooey. You go where the Holy Ghost leads you. You're baptized into the body. We don't want to have to hold up the workings of God to trying to find out where you're at. Add that to the local church. That's the anointing of the Lord. I'm baptized in water, thank God, in the Holy Ghost. But then the Holy Ghost takes me, and this is what hasn't been preached, the baptism into the body. Because nobody likes it. Bless God, if I want to get mad, and if I don't leave, then the pastor has to leave. That's where they come. That's nothing else but carnality. Judging ourselves with ourselves. You let the Holy Ghost baptize you and submerge you into the body. But I can't stand up. You better learn to stand up. He's put you there to groom you so the trumpets can be heard. For the voice of the Lord is speaking. And the Holy Ghost wants you and I to hear His voice. Because He's speaking every day. Oh, sweet Jesus. So my devotional tongue, I'll pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because that frees my mind, see. Apostle Paul taught that there was a cloven mind. He never mentioned it in the word cloven, but he taught it to us. That when you pray in your devotional tongue, you're releasing your mind is in two lobes. Hemispheres. Universities call them. One is logic and one is creative. So when you speak, that's why Paul said, I will pray in my left hemisphere and I'll pray in my right hemisphere. Don't get us off into some mental mystic. That's enough. It means you have a cloven mind to move in the power and the anointing. That's why when you pray in tongues, it releases your creative brain. And you begin to move into the anointing of the spiritual revelations of Jesus. And then the Holy Ghost shows you things which are to come. For He's the Spirit of truth. And it comes from this truth. Amen. He'll guide you into all truth. That's our logic. I'll sing with the understanding. Praise God. I can sing the hymns. I can sing the choruses. I can rejoice. But there's a time when that brings into a new crescendo of glory. And I begin to sing in the Spirit. That looses the creative side. And I begin to know things that are to come. Every day the anointing hits me. Hallelujah. It's the tongues, the anointing of your citizenship, your heavenly language that looses your mind into the spiritual framework to know things before they happen. Our president has already this year broken down those walls of partition of church and state, and he's beginning to call on spiritual leaders. That's what we've heard this last week. He's not calling on the quote, evangelicals. He's calling upon those that have been ridiculed and have been humiliated by the comedians. God now is going to release. The Lord released me when five of the House of Representatives, five members called me on a conference call one morning, 8 o'clock, Washington, D.C. time, California, 5. I was in a deep sleep. I answered the phone. And when they told me who it was, I just said, Jesus. What in the world am I going to do? I'm not going to do anything. I said, Jesus. He spoke to me and said, you bind the evil prince of the United States. You bind the evil prince. So I bound the evil prince of the United States in the name of Jesus. The anointing come all over me. He introduced me one right after the other. First names, the word of the Lord just flowed. Then I go to the next one. The last one was a black sister, and they introduced her first name. And then the Holy Spirit just seemed like I could feel that anointing just cover her as I began to speak, and the prophetic word was for her, and then begin to deal with what she was to do that day. And then it mentioned, now I want you to act in this way toward this person, and then it named him. And my natural man says, oh, brother. You walk when you're a child of God, you're walking 3 to 6 dimensions. And my natural walk, but I mentioned as the anointing of God flowed out, and when I mentioned Andrew Young, she began to shout, oh God, oh God. And they knew that was the word of the Lord. Then she says, my dear brother, after we all calmed down, she says, I'm to meet with Andrew Young today. In those days, he was quite a confused and conflicting individual. But the Lord said, my hand's on him. And she was to meet with him and either to really sort of wipe him off the slate, or either he was to be one of the leaders among the black community. And bless God, not only black community, but he is a leader. He's the mayor of Atlanta today because of that prophecy. I don't care what you say. That anointing, God has his word. And that's why they had confidence in him. They backed him. And he's the mayor of Atlanta. And now his brother is Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking believer that goes to Bishop Polk's church here in Atlanta. And Andrew Young has visited there. Excuse me. Hallelujah. That's only the beginning. The anointing and the glory. Some of you have heard our testimony with Fats Domino. Oh, the anointing as we prayed and dealt with him. God's going to release you into a realm and just bring people by your ministry. I'm releasing my ministry tonight. Amen. I am available, Father. I'm available, Father. Say it. I am available, Father. Say it again. I am available, Father. Oh, hallelujah. So your devotional tongue is mighty. The next realm is your gift tongue. That's when the Apostle Paul said, when you speak in tongues, there'll be someone to interpret. See, it keeps going up. Keeps being expressed. The gift tongue is one that is to be expressed. When you speak your devotional tongue, everybody can receive the devotional tongue. Everybody in the body of Christ should receive the devotional tongue. Now, the gift tongue in the audience that expects a interpretation, then God gives severally. The Holy Ghost moves as to keep order. We're no strangers to order. We love it. The sorts of order of the Holy Ghost. Let everything be done decently in order. We go along with that. Some emphasize decently and in order, and decently we're put out. But it says, let everything be done. Hallelujah. So that's exactly where we stand. And we have the gift tongue. Then we got the travail tongue. Now, as we speak in tongues, there are times when the Spirit of God will grip us. And the travail tongue is like James said, effectual fervent, boiling over. Now this lay me down to sleep stuff. You're ready to war. The whole being. And when the Spirit of God moves upon us in our spirit to release us every year in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, then the gifts of the Spirit is for the Holy Spirit within us, teaching our spirit, but our soul nature, our emotional nature. You know why you're frenzied? Why there's different emotional strains? Is because we haven't seen the authority of the fruits come upon us. Release the gift. That will release the fruits on your emotional nature. And bless God, you will, even though tidings come negative, the psalmist said, my heart is fixed in the word. See, the fruits of the Spirit come upon you. love, joy, and peace? What about long suffering? And whatever happened to gentleness in the body of Christ? You start being gentle, tender, and long suffering. Oh, hallelujah. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, what happens is, the way you can distinguish this is you will change your language. The Spirit of God will change your Holy Ghost dialect. It'll sound like, in my own personal experience, in Spanish, and then it'll sound like a Oriental, Slavic, even Hebrew, African. What are you doing? The Holy Ghost is having you pray around the world. See, you're setting the throne of God in loose in the world. And any moment when you're praying in the Spirit, God will not just be satisfied with that. You'll have Philip's anointing, and you'll be translated where He wants you. Any moment, God's going to release that new dimension of authority to where you will be released. And it starts with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life. It starts with the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let that authority of the Lord, when you pray around the world and pray in the Spirit, that's your travail tongue. Hallelujah. Therefore, that's a dimension of authority that God has given you and I to release the captive. And as you pray in the Spirit, then God gives you that international anointing. See, we have a local anointing, but we also have an international anointing. Every Spirit-filled child of God can walk in these dimensions to where and God will open the door. If you need to be there in these other countries, God will release it and His authority. It's a new day in the 90s. You'll not walk according to the 80s. It's a new dimension. And then there's the harvest tongue. Lord, pray the Lord of the harvest. That's what Jesus told us to do. How do we pray effectually? How do we pray in the will of God? By praying in tongues. So we pray the Lord of the harvest. He will thrust forth labors. The anointing and the call of God upon our youth and our couples. The authority of God. That peace and that anointing to release and expand the body of Christ. That's why the Lord just gave me that in about 1962. I was praying in my office, the Foursquare Church of Brea, California, and the anointing of the Lord was heavy upon us. And then the Lord said, I want you to dedicate a round building down by Disneyland. So I went down Harbor Avenue and I got down to Disneyland. And I went up to a station. I said, where's there a round building around here? I said, I'm Reverend Chuck Flynn, pastor of the Foursquare Church. I want to dedicate it to the Lord. They said, Reverend, there's no religious building around here. There's only one round building, and that's the Melodyland Theater. I said, it's the only one? They said, yes. I said, that's it. So anyway, I got my old 54 Chevrolet Power Glide. Hallelujah. Went over there to Melodyland. Jesus was inside waiting on me, the Spirit of the Lord. I walked in, and He was there anxiously. He said, dedicate this to me. I dedicated everything. I rebuked all principalities and powers. I put the seal of God's word. I spoke, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. And that great, huge, round auditorium, that was in 62-ish, I dedicated it to the Lord, the longest bar in the world. I rebuked it. I said, release the new wine of the Spirit. But it was in 1967. David Wilkerson, Ralph Wilkerson, Nikki Cruz come in there for youth rallies every Saturday night. And that's what broke the back of the hippie movement in California. Melodyland Theater meetings. And then it was turned into Melodyland Christian Center. One of the peaks of the charismatic move. And it was dedicated by an anointed, Holy Ghost-filled person that didn't have a thing more to do with it except I spoke there 20 years later. See, there's an office in God. You say, well, I don't know. How can God use me? You can dedicate. You can go forth in creative power, dedicating land and positions and purposes, and others will come forth and fill them. And they'll reap where they haven't sowed because you're the one the Spirit used to break. Let's praise it. Hallelujah! We seal our hearts. Glory to God.
That's the harvest tongue. Amen. After the harvest tongue, of course, the emergency tongue, which is also the warfare tongue, when God will show you. Many times as pastoring, I've been at the front door ringing the doorbell when they've been on their way to the telephone to call me. I don't care who you are. You can be so sensitive to the Spirit that God would have you at the right place, the right time, every day of your life. Amen. That is the emergency tongue. And the Lord will say, well, call the wife or call the husband or call the kid. See about the job or see, you know, deal with this. And in your business or in your job, you'll be at the right place, the right time. That's the beauty of the system and strategy of God, is to put you and I apart from the counsel of men. That we got to cut each other's throats and kick everybody that's in front of us. No, bless God, you be in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit promotion comes from the north. From God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, amen. Then the sixth level of tongues is the kingly tongue. And that's when you get up in the morning. And that's why Balaam could not curse Israel. He saw Israel as beautiful. They were, all their camps were wonderful. But as he began to try to curse Israel, all he could do is bless Israel. And the Bible says in Numbers that a shout of a king was amongst them. When you get up in the morning and begin to sing in the spirit, the shout of a king is on you and your family and on your children. And everything that's attacking you or your family will be turned to a blessing. Because you have the kingly anointing on you. And the tongues, the unknown tongues, the glory, the authority of that which is a ridicule and a damnation to other evangelicals is the glory of the saints of God. We better know where we stand. I thank God that we can get up and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It doesn't depend on a super duper or supervisor, superintendent. And yet, bless God, we're loyal to the point of receiving the authority of God's Word. Hallelujah. And that's why the Holy Ghost, when you sing in the Spirit, your children are protected. They have the kingly anointing on them. Every little bruise, it's turned to a blessing. Difficulties in education. I was in Tulsa speaking over the congregation, the word of the Lord, and a young man came through and just spoke to him about his education and being prophecy. The Lord Jesus just dealt with him. Don't you know I'll take care of that situation? And he's flabbergasted. In his school, in his educational processes, his mother told me later on, and then he reiterated, it was a tremendous problem he had. But God, the Lord Jesus, just spoke to him. You, someone else. That's how beautiful the Lord is. That's how enriching the gifts are. Not to build up and to make situations of the flesh, but to release all of us together. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, every city I went into, Spirit of God spoke to me personally. Where I was, what I was to do. Hallelujah. And then, of course, you've heard that last, that seventh dimension is the Father speaking, where we were all singing the Spirit, and then the Spirit of God shuts us off at the same time. Don't be in a hurry to sing or even to prophesy or give another type of a, well, you know, He's the Savior. It doesn't matter how good a course is. Don't interrupt the Father when we're in that wonderful. We need fresh approaches of glory. Our sermeneutics are going to be changed, brethren. Our style of worship, it will take on a glory that we have never seen in the body of Christ. I'm ready for it. Sermons, 3 points, and you're through. Throw in a missionary. Those days are over. Tear jerk types of Spurgeons and F.B. Myers and all types of sermons that are in books. And it's good to study, but God's going to bring forth revelation. He's going to bring forth warfare in our congregations where people can't wait for the next service. Hallelujah.
And oh, how the Lord is anxious for us to receive. This is the strategy of the Spirit. Now let's go on. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. By the way, I'm in Ephesians, if you're interested. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, katabole cosmos, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. He's the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, from the beginning of the world. All of these tremendous mysteries of the body of Christ and the glory that God has given you and I, the very strategy of God was released at the foundation of the world. It's been hid in God to the intent that now, just circle the word intent. Why was these mysteries held and released in Jesus and in Jesus through us? The purpose is that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places by it might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, circle eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And this is what the Holy Ghost is telling, that you're the ones to inform. See, Satan misquotes the word, and the demons have of short memories. You're the one to tell them who you are.
Amen.
Might be known by the principalities and powers. No. All Michael does is say, the Lord rebuke you. You and I inform them their predicament and that which Christ has done in us. We're the ones that has been released from the foundation of the world. The Lord purposed it. Jesus has secured it on Calvary. Now that knowledge is to be in you and I to tell the principalities and powers they're bound. They have no hold upon our judicial system, upon our economy, and they have no hold on our youth. We begin to express the strategy of the Father and get right to the core of it. You'll see all the dope cartels fall apart.
Hallelujah.
The authority, the knowledge of God. There's no telling. Somebody said, well, you just always, well, with everybody, and this and that. And don't you know there's going to be a falling away and apostasy? And hey, wait a minute. Sure, the Scriptures say that. But who's going to fulfill that? But the dummies that don't read the Word. You and I know the Word. We're a glorious church. There's some other Scriptures to be fulfilled. Not just the defeatism. This is the authority of the strategy that from the foundation of the world, we're to bring light to the principalities and powers. To express to them from the beginning of the world. Now let's go Matthew 13. We'll go back and forth for a while. Just enjoy ourselves. Matthew 13. That great kingdom chapter. The kingdom of God being brought out in parables. And the Lord, he used the sower, went forth to sow in the field, at which his hearts of men, different qualities of soil. And then he used the big tree that the birds come and rest. He used the net. He used the woman that put the leaven into the bread. He used the field that had the treasure. He used the pearl of great price, which is the body of Christ. So the pearl of great price is not Jesus. A pearl comes through aggravation to an oyster. We have certainly been a thorn in his side. So God has coated us with his precious blood. That's why we're the pearl of great price. Amen. So now we have the the crescendo of understanding why all of these parables. Verse 34, please. Matthew 13, 34 and 35. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying... Now that prophet is found in Psalm 78, verse 2. Psalm 78, verse 2. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So the strategy of God now has been kept secret, but in Jesus it's revealed. You see that? Strategy revealed. The foundation of the world. Then on the side, I have Dake's Bible, and like Dake's, because of this, it goes into the original meaning, katabole cosmos. It means the overthrow of the social world. Refers to the overthrow of the pre-Adamic world by the flood of Genesis 1-2. The defeat of Lucifer and his earthly kingdom before Adam. Now we got to investigate that. Katabole cosmos is not the original creation of the world. Genesis 1:1, I looked it up in the Septuagint, and it brings forth the word, it's a Greek word, themelios, which means something exists out of non-existent material. God, by the word, he created all things, as we have just read in Ephesians. He creates all things by Jesus Christ. And John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, was God, and the Word, all things were made by him. I'll paraphrase. And without him was not anything made that was made. So now Jesus is the Creator. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Themelios, the original creation. And some of these educational people that think that Christians believe the earth is 6,000 years old, we don't believe that. We know what the Word says, but we don't believe the world is just 6,000 years old. We have truth and authority that it could be millions of years old. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Themelios. Say it with me. Themelios. Again. Themelios. That's the original creation. Then it was given over to Lucifer. Lucifer. Pride was found in his heart. Let's look at, what is it? Isaiah 14. Look at that. There's another one there too. 28. And then, let's look at Isaiah 14. There's one that tells explicitly what was found in his heart. I believe it's this one. Yes, verse 12 of Isaiah 14. Just underline it so you'll know how to talk to him. Now, we're not advocating this community. We're saying that the Bible says we are to speak to them what God has done. And let them know so their memory short. And how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Sir, it just sort of underlines sides of the north and the sides of the pit. Let's tell him what he gets. Sides of the pit. And here's the great thing that respectively we say to the Council of Eternals, to the Ancient of Days. Thank you, Father. that you've given to us everything Lucifer wanted by the blood of thy Son. There's the revelation. From glory to glory, he's changed me into his image. And I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. The exact things Lucifer wanted, I get by humbling my heart to the cross. Hallelujah. To the precious Lamb that was slain on Calvary. Thank God. Hallelujah. This is the destroying. Pride was found in Lucifer's heart. Ezekiel 28 says he walks among the stones of fire. What great position he had. But the Holy Ghost, God's strategy, says at the foundation of the world, these things were hid. What was hid? Jesus was crucified before he was slain, before the foundation of the world. Do we have any more insight on that? Yeah. I think you'll find this to be interesting. John chapter 17, where the Lord's talking to the Father. John 17, 24. Jesus mentions this event. And he puts you and I into it beautifully. The Lord is so graciously here. He says, Father, with this deep respect, he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, please circle, be with me. I want them that you've given to me to be with me. This is like it's a romantic term in Adam and Eve when, and I might say this, that I'm not so sure that the serpent didn't tempt Adam. But we know that Adam was not deceived. God told him, you guard the garden and keep it. Keep it means you have an enemy, I have an enemy. So Adam was not deceived. But when Eve came along, then we don't know, but it's certainly, as Tommy Duncan used to say with Bob Wills, the devil ain't lazy. It's about time God's people knew what our real purpose on the earth is, to tell principalities and powers where they stand. That's the power and the victory. Hallelujah. And so Eve was deceived, and so Adam had to make a choice between Eve and the cool of the day. The Ruach means cool of the day, communion with God. And Adam said, honey, I want you to be with me. Give me the fruit. And he partook of it. And Jesus, in this great, tremendous verse, says, Father, I want them that you've given me to be with me. Give me the cup, and I'll drink it. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why you're with him. I want you to be with me. Give me the cup. So he says, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me, here it goes, here it is again, before the foundation of the world. Jesus is saying, the glory I want them that you've given me, I want them to be with me. But the glory is that they'll know your love that you gave me before the foundation of the world. How come Jesus mentions this to the Father? He knew what he was saying. The Father knew what he was saying. And you and I have been robbed of this tremendous love, the strategy of God, before the foundation of the world. We have been satisfied with fire insurance to miss hell. And that's just a little portion of his love. Father, let them know my glory. What glory? That you love me. Why then has Jesus brought this out before he's to face Calvary? Why does he reiterate that and remind the Father? Because the Father spoke to him, you're slain before the foundation of the world. When Lucifer was taken, and all the disembodied spirits, the demons, they were inhabitants on the earth. They're disembodied spirits. They're different from the angels that fell. Peter calls it the world that then was.